Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MG, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, and Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. Well, it's that time of year again where Mark Rosewater has just released his Tumblr spoilers for the new Kamigawa Neon Dynasty set coming up here in a couple of weeks. So, therefore, today's episode is going to be my take on the Tumblr post and basically go over some of the things I'm really interested in seeing what will come out of these spoilers and in this set. Obviously, a lot of people are really excited about this set, and I am too. It's going to be great to return to Kamigawa, and it looks like things are going to be absolutely spectacular in a lot of ways. So let's just dive into this, shall we? So again, I'm going to kind of cut this segment up into a few different things that I really enjoy, or at least want to talk about. So again, we're going to be talking about some of the things that we can expect, as well as a few pieces of the potential creatures and legendary creatures we are going to be seeing in Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. So without further ado, I'm going to get started with a few of the things from this Tumblr post that I am really excited to see. If you're interested in seeing this Tumblr post for yourself, I will be linking to it in the description notes for this episode. So let's get started. All right. So a lot of the things that I'm really excited about here definitely get started with an unnamed mechanic that cares about having two things the Magic has had since its beginning. So again, we've had a lot of new mechanics coming into Magic the Gathering as of lately. Just a lot of interesting things become keyworded. Things like mill, for instance, have become keywords. And it's just interesting looking at aspects we've had in Magic the Gathering for almost the last 30 years and how this mechanic is going to be covering multiple things that the game has had since that beginning. So it's really exciting to see some new ground being broken for existing archetypes in the game. I'm really happy, personally, that mill was put in there. There was a lot of words that went into that, even though milling the strategy was around for a long, long time. So I'm really excited to see what this new keyword could possibly be to hopefully give us a new name for the lexicon of Magic the Gathering that will, you know, be on our minds for many, many years to come. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where that goes. The second thing that I think people are really excited to see are going to be two new Yamazakis. Obviously, we've had the Yamazakis before in the previous Kamigawa trip, and it starts with Brothers Yamazaki, which is a 2/1 human samurai costing 2 and a red, has Bushido 1, so when this blocks or becomes blocked, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn. If there are exactly two permanents named Brothers Yamazaki in play, and again, it's just in play, it doesn't matter if it's on your side, an opponent's side, it doesn't matter, the legend rule doesn't apply to them. And each other creature named Brothers Yamazaki has +2/+2 and has haste. So again, in EDH, since it is a singleton format, unless you're going rule zero completely, which again, there's nothing wrong with that, you basically can't play Brothers Yamazaki and be able to copy its effect just by itself to be able to get that extra +2/+2 and haste. So the ability to potentially have two new Yamazakis has got a lot of people out there talking about if this card right here could potentially see more play coming here forward, especially as a commander. Obviously, we just saw it on the list, so it's definitely on WotC's radar, and I'm kind of excited to see where that may be going here in the future. The third thing that I think is really exciting here is going to be the finish of a 5-card cycle many years in the making. Obviously, Magic the Gathering has had a lot of 5-card cycles, or in a lot of cases, broken cycles, where we haven't seen all 5 of the particular cycle. So the ability to see something here would be really nice. Again, I'm not going to be able to speculate on this. There's a lot of potential cycles that we haven't seen all 5 cards of, one for each color in the color pie. So it's just going to be interesting to see what exactly comes out of that. And, of course, the last thing that from the first section here that's really exciting is two different pairings of creature types get tribally connected. Obviously, as part of Kamigawa, we had a whole bunch of very interesting creature types. A lot of things like snakes, ninjas, samurai, and just Kirin. A lot of very interesting creature types that we haven't really seen since, or have really seen at all since. And it's going to be interesting to be able to see how some of these intersect. Obviously, we're going to be seeing a lot of ninjas, a lot of samurai, or at least we're expecting we are, as part of the set. So it's going to be interesting to see if humans will not be the only creature type, or at least the creature main type, for a lot of these. What I would consider more like a job description, more than a... something more like a job description, I would say, like samurai, like ninja, warrior, you know, someone like that. So definitely gonna be interesting to see how many of these creature types can really be mixed together in the new Kamigawa set. It's gonna be really interesting to see how that works out. So now that I've covered a few of those things, I'm going to go to the bit about rules text that will be showing up on cards. Something that really makes me excited, since I do have a Sithis Harvest hand deck that I've talked about once or twice on the show, is the first one says you may cast target enchantment card from your graveyard this turn. Obviously, this could be on anything from a common to a mythic, and again, it may not be in the right colors for my deck specifically, but the ability to be able to cast an enchantment card from your graveyard is never to really be underestimated, especially when you're in green and white, maybe blue, but even if black or red, especially since those don't necessarily have the best ways to mess around with enchantments, being able to bring something back to the battlefield, even just for one turn, is still not to be underestimated. So that's very interesting here. There's also seems to be a lot of storm-like mechanics. Obviously, storm is extremely problematic to have and by itself as a keyword ability, but the ability to have storm-like copying, I think, is really where they're going here. So where X is the number of times this ability has resolved this turn, we've seen a lot of effects like that in the last few years, and it's going to just be interesting to see where that goes. Whenever you cast an artifact, instant, or sorcery spell, copy that spell. Definitely sounds like a blue card, personally, but again, it doesn't necessarily have to be. This could also be red. Red has been doing a lot of copying lately, things like Deflecting Swat, Nonwithstanding, but again, things like Reverberate Fork, various cards like that, which allow you to Wild Ricochet, which allow you to be able to do things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see which color those are in, as well as the first activate ability of an artifact you activate each turn costs 2 less to activate. So it just sounds like there's going to be a lot of spell copying here, a lot of effects have been going into this direction, especially in the last year or two here, and it's going to be interesting to see how these work, especially in a standard legal set like this, as well as what I talk about the most, which is EDH Commander. And then again, another one, then repeat this process for an enchantment and a planeswalker. This could be a destruction spell, something like Casualties of War from War of the Spark, or this could just be, you know, temporary hexproof. I don't know. Just some interesting things here. And another one that is really interesting is the legend rule doesn't apply to permanents you control. We have seen a couple of examples of this in the past where the legend rule is typically a problem for copying, especially for decks built around trying to copy your commander. And while some creatures and some cards that clone do have this ability, a lot of times the legendary rule is a problem for us as EDH players. And when Sakishima of 1,000 Faces came out last year in Commander Legends, this kind of went by the wayside a little bit, as well as I think it was Konda's Banner. I think that was the correct one from the original Kamigawa block, which is an artifact which allows you to basically ignore the legend rule. Or was it? Yes, something like that. Again, I'm a little bit scatterbrained here, but there was definitely a card in the old Kamigawa block that did allow you to ignore the legend rule, and it sounds like there's going to be something in this set that will allow you to do that as well. Or maybe it's Champion's Helm. I'm going to look that up here real quick. Okay, yeah, it was definitely not Champion's Helm. It was Konda's Banner, I believe. No. I'm definitely wrong. But there's definitely a card in the set that, in one of the Kamigawa sets, that does allow you to ignore the legend rule. And the ability to be able to do this again And especially if you're looking in blue, all of a sudden gives you three options to be able to do this, especially if Sakishima is one of your partners. So that's definitely something to keep an eye out on going forward, as well as this really other interesting bit right here at the very bottom of the text section. It says, if it has dealt 10 or more damage to that player this turn, they lose the game. We as EDH players really enjoy these sorts of bizarre win or lose the game conditions, and it sounds like this will be exactly up the same kind of alley. So we'll definitely have to see what exactly that is stapled to, and hopefully there's a little bit of downside to make sure you can't just easily pump it two or three times and just take someone out of the game. Hopefully it requires a little bit extra setup, because otherwise that just completely busts it, especially in our format where we have access to just so much mana. And we're going to get to the last section right here, and that is those are the creature type lines in this set. Obviously, like I said at the outset of this episode, we're going to be having ninjas, samurai, and Kirin. We're going to be having a lot of very interesting other creatures, the foxes. And I think the first one here, creature fox pilot, is interesting because, again, it really demonstrates the return of vehicles. And vehicles were last seen on Kaladesh and really haven't been seen much since. So it'll be nice to see at least a little bit of vehicle support coming back in this set. I obviously wasn't playing during Kaladesh, and it'd be really interesting for me personally just to see vehicles as an artifact type. They've always been something that have intrigued me. I've never really gotten into it much, but just being able to see a little bit of vehicle support would be really nice here. The next one down, creature turtle ninja. That's going to be interesting. Obviously, we have Archelos, who is a legendary creature worried about tapping or untapping permanents as they enter the battlefield. We had a lot of ninjas, so now we're going to have a turtle ninja. That just sounds really awesome, so let's definitely see where that goes. The artifact creatures are going to be interesting. We have an artifact creature as a goblin artificer, so kind of like goblin welder, but an artifact, I guess, and an ogre warrior. It'll be interesting to see where these go, although if you've seen some of the spoilers that it came out today, the 24th of January 2022, this may not really come as a surprise. So again, we're going to have to see if some of the stuff that has happened in the Vorthos side of things is going to impact why these two are artifact creatures and not just regular creatures. Why they have the artifact super type is going to be interesting to see. And another one that's interesting, I think, is the enchantment creature Egg. We've seen Egg support a few times. We've seen an entire deck built around Eggs, effectively, with the Nest Tender. It isn't Gavi. It's, you see, I always know I'm going to forget. I can think of the character right in my, oh man, why do I always forget? Atla Pilani Nest Tender. There we go. So yeah, Atla Pilani worries about Eggs specifically, and Gyared Conclave Exile also worries about Eggs a little bit, as long as they're tokens, but mostly Atla Pilani is going to be worrying about Eggs. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how this plays into that, specifically because Atla Pilani kind of works more with the Ixalan side of the story. So I'm not quite sure how Egg is going to work here, but again, we'll see how that works. And we do have three legendary creatures that have been spoiled here. I'm going to go over those. So we have a Kirin Spirit. Again, we've seen Kirin in the recent, or in the past, in the Kamigawa sets. And it's also going to be Spirit. And since we've seen a lot of Spirit Tribal as part of, especially the last trip to Innistrad just a few months ago, maybe this will really play in well with that, especially for the Standard environment, trying to make Spirits a potential contender in the Standard format. Again, I don't know much about Standard, but this sounds to me like an opportunity for Spirits to really take a jump in the Standard environment. Second one is a Goblin Samurai. It's going to be interesting to see how goblins play into this set, as well as we're going to have Samurai support, definitely. That's already been well known for a while. And being able to have one that hits both of those creature types is going to be interesting, to say the least. But, again, it demonstrates that not all Samurai have to be human anymore, and I think that's the really important distinction that they're doing this time around. As well as the last one, which is a legendary enchantment creature that is a snake druid. We've also had not really seen snakes a lot since the last trip to Kamigawa, and the ability to have a snake here in the story, as well as an enchantment creature, also potentially adds some extra dimensions to the overall gameplay as well as to the story. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to this little overview I have of the Kamigawa set post here. I'm definitely excited to see where we're going to go with this in the next couple of weeks as the cards get previewed, and hopefully be able to talk to you again soon about the cards that are actually going to be in the set and what kind of effect they're going to have on Magic Gathering and EDH in general. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. If you're interested in finding more of my podcast episodes, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That is Google, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, MTGcast, RocketCast, CastBox, Overcast, Podbean, and a whole lot of others. If it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find me there. I'm also available on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. If you find the happy looking Ulamog wearing a pair of headphones, you've found the right place. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So another huge shout out and thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, and Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I very much hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.